The bruise comes first. Rot and bad follow. Watch it in an apple or a melon. A bump or mishandling will leave a bruise, and the bruise will invite decay. The greater tragedy is in human lives. Many a lost soul today is the result of a bruise. A careless jostling by someone that left a man or a woman's soul hurt. I see these bruised ones every day, men and women who have been hurt. Now, Louis Neiser, the attorney, says in My Life in Court, published by Doubleday and Company, Incorporated, New York, I have represented defrauded businessmen who fight their deceivers for fortune and power, and I have seen them pour out their venom against their opponents until they have suffered heart attacks or were ulcerated. I have witnessed struggles for the protection of copyrighted material where pride of authorship, being dearer than life itself, consumed the creative artist. I have seen public figures libeled or accused of wrongs which could wreck their life's work, strike back at their detractors. I have observed men with spotless reputations who were indicted suffer nervous breakdowns. I have witnessed children sue their fathers to deprive them of their businesses, or brothers engaged in fratricidal contests without quarter. I have seen defendants in antitrust suits beleaguered by plaintiffs seeking treble damages or defending themselves against government actions aimed to break up their enterprise painstakingly built over a lifetime. I have participated in will contests in which relatives were at each other's throats for the inheritance. All these litigations evoke intense feelings of animosity, revenge, and retribution. Some of them may be fought ruthlessly. None of them, even in their most aggravated form, can equal the sheer, unadulterated venom of a matrimonial contest. The participants are often ready to gouge out the eyes or the soul of the once loved without any pity whatsoever. A man whose sense of honor may be punctilious and whose restraint under extreme provocation may be admirable will unhesitatingly insist on making charges against his wife, which, even if true, would not be entertained by any decent man, particularly against the mother of his children. And a woman who all her life has been kindly and gentle may turn so vengeful against her husband that she will write obscene and poisonous letters to his friends and create violent scenes at his office, confront him, physically attack him in public places, have him arrested, and write anonymous accusations to the Treasury Department. Either may disregard their children's welfare by making them pawns in the battle, filling their ears with loathing for the other. There is no limit to the blazing hatred, the unquenchable vengefulness, the reckless abandonment of all standards of decent restraint which a fierce matrimonial contest engenders. Now those are bruises, sir. Every courtroom is filled with them. How often have you been hurt? David knew what it was to be bruised. Undermined by his own son, his popularity at its lowest ebb, wearied by years of challenge, Shimei, a distant relative of the house of Saul, libels him. He came forth and cursed still as he came, and he cast stones at David. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, and thou man of Belial. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. The belittling, lying accusations hurt worse than the stones that day. Joseph knew what it was to be bruised. His brothers bruised him early in life. And Potiphar's wife bruised him with a smear and a shakedown that for sheer cupidity are unsurpassed to this day. And she spake unto him, that is her husband, according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant which thou hast brought into us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which he spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled, And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. The injustice of it all hurt worse than the handcuffs and the leg irons. Not long ago, this plaintive cry was published. Our mother drinks. I don't mean just at cocktail parties. I mean all by herself during the afternoon. Sometimes the woman next door comes in, and they get drunk together. And when my sisters and I come home from school, Mom is usually in terrible shape. Most days she doesn't make the beds or clean the house. We have to do the housework or it doesn't get done. And then I go to the market and beg for credit so I can have dinner on the table when Dad comes home. Please help us. Those children are being bruised, mister. Something is happening to them as children that shouldn't happen. How will it affect their lives? Will they ever recover from these bruises? Jesus came to set at liberty them that are bruised. How does he do this? Well, he provides an antidote for a putrefying action. A bruised apple never recovers. The bruises generate bad, and the bad spreads. There's no hope for the apple, but there is hope for human lives through Jesus Christ. Peter was badly bruised on the night of Christ's betrayal. A certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, oh, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour after another, confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him. For he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. The crash in Peter's soul, the awful vision of his moral weakness, might have catapulted this man into hell. It wouldn't have taken much more to have sent him after Judas. He was hurt, oh, hurt badly. He was ripe for Satan's infection. Condemnation lay heavily on his soul, but Jesus was there to set him at liberty, to lift and to pardon and to kiss away the condemnation. He set him at liberty. So the man that was bruised stood and preached the sermon at the day of Pentecost. The woman taken in adultery was bruised. No one but God could possibly know what her unfortunate life had done to her soul. Her ideals had been battered down. Her body had become a common marketplace. Her mind had been sullied. Corruption had spread to her spirit. She had slidden down the ladder of entertainment status until she had been taken in public. She was plying her trade on the streets. Only one person could set that woman at liberty. Thank God he did. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and he said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had lifted himself up and saw none but the woman, he said, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. He lifts the condemnation. That's how he does it. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. He sets at liberty those that are bruised. Isaiah says, he was bruised for our iniquities. The Son of God was bruised as no man has ever been bruised. He was bruised by this world that we have ruined. God made a good world. We have made it a bad world. The lies in this world are our lies. The hatred in this world is our hatred. The greed in this world is our greed. The impurity in this world is our impurity. Our sin bruised him. He was lied about. His reputation was smeared. His honor was questioned. He was physically attacked. Murderous attempts were made upon his life before his death. His loneliness is a matter of record. He was misunderstood by his friends and family. He lived by faith, God had to supply his tax money. None ever heaped the riches of this world upon him. Authorities treated him with contempt. In the end, the crowds forsook him. He was betrayed and denied by those who shared his love and confidence. No one pled his cause. He was sentenced to die with thieves. Jesus Christ was bruised for me. No one understands the hurt in your soul like God's Savior. He is a refuge for your spirit. So tell him your heartbreak. Tell him your struggle against revenge and bitterness and suicide. He understands as no one else can possibly understand. For when he was reviled, he reviled not again. Jesus is the friend you need, sir. That bruise in your soul, mister, will turn from bad to worse. It will eat into your life with death, pain, and punishment. You can't afford that. Let God save you now. Let his grace remove the rancor, the malice, the strife, the envy, the recklessness. Don't throw your life away because you have been hurt. Find a new life. Find a new beginning. That is what God offers you through Jesus Christ, his son. Mr. Neiser speaks of a woman whom he defended in a divorce action as one who was haggard and overthin from loss of sleep and food. Her eyes dimmed and rimmed with red because there were no more tears. Quivering and shaken, although not a finger had been laid on her. Are you that woman? Are you that living, tormented, bruised soul? Then this message is for you. It tells you that God does care and is prepared to do something about it through Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who was bruised for our iniquities. Have you been hurt badly? Are you bruised? You need help at once. That bruise can fester, and that can so easily become a corruption in your life. There's no help outside of Jesus Christ and this altar. No one else can halt this decay. Oh, I'm so glad to see you coming. There will be others in these next 10 seconds.
There's room at the cross for.
People get hurt on this planet. I mean hurt in spirit. Folk become bruised in mind and their emotions are bent and twisted. A doctor can place a cast on a broken leg, but who can mend a broken spirit or mind? Jesus knows how to deliver them that are bruised. That is one of the most wonderful statements in the entire universe. I would be in hell today were it not for that fact. No one can stand up to this mistreatment, to this misrepresentation, to heartbreak and disappointment without help from above. You go down, 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 brother. This may seem old hat to you, something out of the backwoods, something entirely out of keeping with today's level of thinking. But what have you got to lose? So do it now. Drop on your knees. Tell Jesus the sorrows of your heart. The miracle of what will happen will change your life. And you will have to experience it to believe it as I do. I mean it. Talk to God. Tell him everything. Let it come out. You have held it inside for such a long time, and it's rotting your life. It's making a bad man, a bad woman out of you. Let God help you to get rid of it at this altar. You can't carry that rotten load much longer. It drives you to drink. It drives you to gambling. It'll drive you to dope and divorce. Jesus Christ offers you help. Take it. Give your life over to him for his keeping and his shepherding guidance. I wouldn't trade such a peace of mind and conscience for anything else in this whole world. Lord, you are doing it. You are helping these people who have been hurt so badly. You are cleansing them. You are giving them peace and forgiveness. You are taking away the hurt and filling them with thy love. Oh, we thank thee for redemption. We thank thee for caring about us enough to die for us. We thank thee for heaven and your power to carry us there. We thank thee for an inner joy that turns on a light inside our souls that has been so dark and so ugly. We thank thee for this message and this service, that thou knowest how to deliver them that are bruised, and thou art delivering us now. We know you'll keep us all. Amen. Now you'll have the first wonderful untroubled night's sleep tonight, you will. You will feel all clean inside and be ready to face the world again. Don't worry. Only trust. And remember what Brother Ward says every service. For it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord.